welcome to episode 38 of the Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Roger Kirby, and joining me this evening is Mr. Stephen Rudkin.
Good evening, Roger, on this wet and windy UK evening, going into week 13. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Bit stressful week. Lots of stuff going on, but I'm glad to be here this evening and looking forward to catching up and addressing the tight end and of the business. It doesn't even make any sense, but I did have a really catchy statement that clearly that happened, but there we go.
Yes, it'd be good to catch up and talk some ball.
So, should we start with some news? Anything tickle your fancy this week?
News this week? Well, I think the late game between the Broncos and Patriots led into quite a few bits of news with obviously the injuries and Gronk obviously not being as serious as it first looked on the field.
That's huge for them, isn't it? Because everything good they do goes through him. I mean, Deion Lewis is a massive loss. And obviously it goes without saying that you lose the QB, you know, things are done. But realistically, you know, if Gronk can come back, Amendola should be fit. I mean, they cut Chris Harper without even, you know, giving a blink and a second thought to it. But that tends me to think Amendola's pretty close.
He's looking like either this week or next. So
yeah, and realistically, what worst case scenario? 13-3.
Yeah, I mean the Gronk is what we always think is the key player there for the Brady offense. He could almost lose everyone else, but as long as he's got Gronk, he'll find a way, it seems. And it would almost be good for them to go this week without them and see what they've got in Chandler, if he can step up a bit more.
And it's not as if they're playing an in-form, you know, team that's absolutely flying. You know, they're playing a team that is, you know, ironically right in the thick of the NFC East, but the Eagles are a tough watch, and the Chip Kelly experience is blowing up in his face a little bit.
Well, it's the ultimate. The Patriots, who play matchups perfectly, better than anyone, and pick and choose players they're going to take away and promote their guys that they think will work best against a team who don't worry about matchups and individuals. And so it'll be interesting to see Eagles, Patriots,
X's and O's, or Jimmy's and Joe's.
Love it. So should be a good game this week. Other news around the league for you?
It would be rude not to mention that Austin Davis is going to start at the weekend.
Yes, it would be rude. We obviously talked a lot of Browns last week, and it's seemingly we talk a lot of Browns every week.
Yeah, for a football team that is absolutely bobbins, yeah. They are, you know, headline carrying news for all of the wrong reasons week in, week out.
Always punching above their weight, it seems. Well, one school of thought is you almost want to see what you can do with Austin Davis, because you've got to think about going forward. I don't know. They're obviously not going to keep McGowan next year, I don't think. So it's how long do you need to teach Johnny another lesson, really, I guess.
Yeah, I was listening to the ESPN Football Today, and it basically echoes what you said the other week, is that because we don't have that information of what that conversation was prior to the bye week, we don't know. Was it no alcohol? Was it no pictures? Was it no this, no that? Or, you know, without having that information, it's really difficult to understand, because from the outside looking in, you're thinking, well, big picture, they've got to find out a little bit what they have. You know, he's, you know, for rightly or wrongly, he's still a first round pick, and you're not telling that they cut him today. Someone else will snap him up. So,
yeah, that's for sure. Somebody else will give him a go. And you saw on the Monday night game, it seemed like he was being a good team player there on the sideline when the injury to McGowan happened. So, yeah. you really want to see them try, but as you've said before many times, it looks like he's just not Pettin's guy. So whilst Pettin's still at the Realm, he seemingly is going to do what he wants to do.
Very true. Now, there was one more story that we briefly said about before we came on air.
It was the old laser sound effects.
Ah, of course. Because I was about to transition when we were talking about the Eagles and their offensive struggles, and then clearly forgot.
So, seamlessly, we shall cover the Dolphins moving on from Bill Lazor, who Ryan Tannehill is saying today, he's just excited to be a part of the game plan going forward. Not too bothered, it seems.
Yeah, Tannehill seems like a guy that it doesn't really seem to get up or down for anything. He seems almost boring, almost in that sort of quarterback mould of...
Wouldn't you be if you were guaranteed so much money? You could just do what you want for a few years?
I mean, for all you can say about, like, you know, the likes of Manziel and some of the other guys that do... are a little bit wild and stuff, but they do make the league, you know, an interesting place. Don't get me wrong, I'm not condoning some of the, you know, the off-field stuff that, you know, some of these guys are negatively involved with. But, you know, the guys that do, you know, honestly speak their mind, you know, it was refreshing to hear Carson Palmer the other week, you know, talking about that the Bengals game meant a lot to him and, it was a little bit more nerves than the old belly. You know, just showing these guys are actually real and human and not, you know, Peyton Manning, you know, evidence answered with a standard, you know, statement of five things off a card.
Or even what you've been thinking lately about JJ. And
yeah, I mean, what for me is he's become almost the poster boy of, you know, he's created a persona. And it's become a little bit tiresome, but the thing is that his on-field work is just exceptional. So, you know...
It's a bit like the Russell Wilson thing where he almost sounds too good to be true, in a way, trying to be Mr. Perfect in many ways. But as you say, his on-field performances don't give him the room to say what he wants and do as he pleases, but certainly allows him to almost then just be out there and say a little bit of what he wants to think of himself. But sometimes it seems he's overstepping and being a bit too cocky and arrogant with it all.
Yeah, I mean, it seems all too planned and not natural at all. But yeah, back to Lazor. It's interesting that he's gone, and the Eagles offense, which is essentially the same scheme, has struggled this year. And Miami have really tried to up-tool, that offensive system in terms of their players and personnel. You know, they obviously lost to Jay, and Miller was looking good last year. I did think that Tannehill was making strides, and obviously they got over Kenny Stills, Jordan Cameron. You know, Devontae Parker's obviously not made the field, but he was a first-round pick. Jarvis Landry's looking good. But it's not really not going down there for them.
It's always going to be a bit... Again, we wonder from the outside who really is making some of the decisions and pulling the strings, because you've got some reports saying that it was... and the name escaping me, Dan Campbell is actually the one who's made this decision, which I find odd for an interim coach to be able to do such a change in a way, because he wants to play two tight ends, a fullback, and control the game that way, which is so different to what they've been trying to do. Yet at the same time, you think it could come from up high because they're like, this isn't working with Tannehill, and we've put all that money into him, so we need to get it right with him and find somebody that works with our franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I think that's key, isn't it? You know, they've paid him what is going to be a lot of money going forwards. And I think, was it on the Around the NFL podcast, they were saying that, you know, it's almost feels a bit like the Mark Sanchez deal that Tannenbaum did in New York.
Yeah.
You know, they've made the decision and now they've kind of got to live with it, come hell or high water.
Yeah, and then you've got that tricky situation of a new head coach is going to come in and he's either going to have to fit with that thought that you've got Tannehill and he's your guy and you've got to go with him, and if you don't get on and don't fit well in the end with him or with Sue, it seems you're going to struggle to keep your job.
Well, talking of Sue, what did you make of his comments? Like to hear your take on that.
Again, some people saying, are they taking a little out of context? I don't know fully, but it sounds like a little bit too far in a way when you're talking to your teammates about saying how either some of the players aren't good enough to play with him and they've all got to follow him.
Choking to death. No cough button in our sophisticated studio.
No. Put it on then.
Excuse me.
Christmas wish list.
I kind of quite liked it because of the fact that Miami are screaming out for somebody like that.
It seemed like just a happy franchise over the years in a way. Down there in Miami in the sun, nothing really mean about them. They play in a tough East Division with a bunch of teams. When you talk about them, they're all, you know that they're coming with a strong defense and a bit of character.
Yeah, rugged and molded under the, molded in the image of their respective coaches, and it just seems all, as you say, too happy-go-lucky there. So from that perspective, I liked it, but I can completely see that it's going to rub people up the wrong way.
Yeah, it's the type of thing a couple of players might want to go the other way with it.
You just check out,
because if you feel, particularly when the whole situation that it looked like he didn't want to show up and do anything for the first half of the year just because he wanted to get his way with the coordinator.
Yeah, and that's very true. You know, you've got to buy, rightly or wrongly, you need to buy in for the system to work. Even if you don't think the system's going to work, you need to buy in to at least make it work.
Yeah, but he certainly has been putting it in the last few weeks and playing great, so.
Yeah, and that's without Cameron Wake.
Yes. So, interesting comments there. The Dolphins are going to be changing both sides of the ball over the off-season. I think,
without a doubt, this new head coach, I can't see them giving it Campbell.
No, not now when you talk about interim coaches needing such almost a perfect record. They've had that little honeymoon period of a couple of games, and if they don't string together a serious amount of wins to finish off.
And I think touching on your point, I think it will be an offensive-minded coach because I think they're obviously married to Tannehill.
Well, they don't need a D coordinator because they got Sue to run the defense. He's picking the plays. That's fine.
Good to know. So I think that kind of wraps up the news. Anything else?
Yeah, I think that covers what's been happening that tickles our fancy from the last week.
We've used that English, very English saying twice already today. So, yes, we will move over to your dulcet tones now and my ever-increasingly pleasing listen. I can't really get my words out today. It was going to be another grandiose statement of your fantastic wit and humour on the roundup. So yeah, we'll hand over to you, and I'll put my teeth back in.
Welcome to the classified results of Week 12 from the Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Leagues. Starting in the Move the Sticks League, where we have two games to go, Gobias Industries moved to the top seed overall as they thumped Old Man Strength 81-37. Old Man never recovering from his quarterback Romo's three interceptions on Thanksgiving. Rudder's Niners kept their playoffs hopes alive, beating the top of Division 1 leaders D-Train 115-94. 22 points from both wide receivers Macklin and Jarvis Landry helped the Fanatics win 98-89 over New York Bozo. I've made a huge mistake, lost to move to 4-8, losing 94-142 to Scratchensniff, a 3-touchdown performance by Doug Baldwin, helping Scratchensniff move to the top of Division 2. Eskimo Bros database are right behind them at 6-6, with a 99-84 win over Cowboys Crusaders. Finally, in the Move the Sticks League, the Playmakers moved to 6-6 to keep playoff hopes alive, beating the Dambiago Lagers 94-79 in a battle in Division 3. The Lagers now 7-5, Tony's Playmakers 6-6, aided by the 3-touchdown performance by Calvin Johnson. Into the Hall of Lame League, and the future Hall of Lamers beat the crucial Gronk if you're horny fixture 118-76, keeping the playoff hopes alive for the future Hall of Lamers in Division 2. They move to 7-5, chasing that 4th seed in the Hall of Lame. Adrian Peterson's 30 points led a real Americans American team to the top of Division 1, 103-55, as the Magicians Alliance failed this week and moved back behind Dylan's team at 8-4, but still holding that playoff 4th spot. A weak week from the stars of the Intimidators, Julio Jones and Todd Gurley, only managed 63 points altogether as they lost to the lowly Stockholm Stiff Arms, who moved to 3-9. Unruly Moustache go to 6 in a row to a 10-2 record overall and the top seed as they beat the G-Men 83-53. The Macclesfield Mannings keep narrow playoff hopes alive as there are 3 games still to go in the Hall of Lame, as they beat Bootzilla 103-84 to move to 5-7, chasing Bootzilla at 7-5. And finally, Watkins and Calvin Johnson scored 27 points each to help Forest Green Army pick up their 3rd win of the season over Zach Stacy's mom in Division 3, 142-115. Into the Pipe and Slippers Dynasty League, and the Negatrons top Division 2 with a 9-3 record, thanks to Antonio Gates finally scoring some touchdowns to help the Negatrons win 126-121 to It's Like Giving Candy to a Baby. The Honey Badgers won 136-58, the pairing of two Chiefs, Alex Smith and Jeremy Macklin, helping our esteemed host Roger to a victory over Lombardy Slap to move back ahead of Lombardy with the tiebreaker to top Division 1, with just 1 game to go before the playoffs. Gronk if you're horny move to 7-5 and hold the 5th seed moving into the playoffs with a 123-94 victory over Silent Assassin. The Compromised Underpants were led by Cam Newton and his defense, the Carolina Panthers, 122-79 victory over I'm Bringing Hasselbeck, the newly named team from Kenny, as Anthony moves to 9-3, just behind the Negatrons in Division 2. The One Cheddars stunned the X Factors with a 109-72 win, but they only moved to 4-8. The X Factors hold a playoff spot at a lowly 6-6 record in Division 3. Crunch Time, despite carrying a 0 on their team from Brandon Coleman of the Saints, won 107-66 to pick up their 2nd win of the season over the lowly Sharkies 3-9. Crunch Time now sit bottom at 2-10 overall. Those are your results as we move ever closer to the playoffs. Back to you, Roger.
So, your esteemed host, thank you very much, Mr. Rudkin, welcomes you back and thank you for that as always, Mr. Ruskin.
Yeah, well, it was a stunning beatdown in the Pipe and Slippers League there for the Honey Badgers in that top of the table clash against.
Yeah, it needed to happen as well.
The rudderless ship that is Lombardy Slap, who just cruises along without a owner making any changes,
without a care in the world.
So that was the results from week 12. We, as always, have a few little awards to round off last week's action before we'll look ahead to the upcoming games and where all the standings lie. So, we have moves of the week for last week. In the move of sticks, we have Rudders Niners picking up Travis Benjamin off waivers, playing him 16 points and a win for the Niners. Eskimo Bros database picked up and played Buck Allen, 14 points there for the Eskimo Bros. This is almost a dual award because Forest Green Army did the exact same thing in Hall of Lame. So obviously it was a big waiver wire pickup there, Allen, last week with the Forsett injury. So
yeah,
14 points again there for Forest Green and a win in the Hall of Lame. In the Pipe and Slippers, the moves were the Honey Badgers playing David Johnson, who scored highly, despite that it was almost like you knew CJ was going to go down with a broken leg somehow. So well done to the Honey Badgers for playing David Johnson.
Yeah, I made a few last minute moves, roster changes there, because it was, and most of that was down to the fact that Landry was supposed to be quite badly banged up for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And ended up having a massive day, ironically, but it still worked out okay for me.
I know, I think just looking at it, why it seemingly it was a last minute move in there, wasn't it? So it worked out well for you. And then finally, we have the crunch time in the Pipe and Slippers, picking up off waivers, which is a tough get in that league.
Yeah.
Spencer Ware. And 17 points, and helping Bruce to his second run of the season.
Now, whilst I like the Spencer Ware move, and at the moment, as we speak, my excuse the purring noises, that is my cat who's decided to come and sit on my knee whilst we do the podcast. Well, hello, Mr. Bond. I've been expecting you.
Yeah, all I think of a cat sat on a lap with a baddie is Inspector Gadget.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
Very good. I wonder if our American friends and Australian buddies, and obviously our solitary Canadian lister, get Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, I always want to play the theme tune at the end of this show, but I'm not sure the royalty situation on that one.
No, just deep. We need probably slightly deeper pockets than we've got. But,
yeah, so I think I'll just tweet out a link to it later on.
Yeah. So yeah, back to the important stuff. Your brother's move for Travis Benjamin to play him, because when you think about it, the Browns. I mean, I know that the Ravens are a tough kind of watch in terms of, you know, defensively, but the Browns are the Browns. I know Benjamin's had a decent year, but the Browns' offense seems to be in fits and starts. So I think to you know, plug him in and play him. I think. Kudos, and your brother's been sneaky okay this year.
Well, he often likes to just change it up every week, it seems. I mean, I was actually looking the other day at my Move the Sticks team and how the team that I put out on Sunday, this weekend, had one player in the lineup who started for me in week one.
Really?
In Antonio Brown. Everyone else is a new player, either traded, picked up, or couple were on my bench at the start of the year.
Oh, yeah, and you've done well in that league, so it proves that the draft is
a starting point.
Yeah,
obviously you can get your bell cows there, but in a league like this where we have no keepers, and it's obviously first year, seemingly, and a lot of this year the top players have had injuries or hits and misses, that some of these waiver wire pickups have been useful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you think, I was, you know, at one stage in the season, I was desperate to get, trying to get Eddie Lacy, and, you know, your brother took Marshawn Lynch off me, and, you know, you think of all the different things. You know, it's tough.
So we're giving the award to Rudders Niners.
We are.
Congratulations, big bro. Not sure, he might listen to this one. We'll see. I'll tell him that he's mentioned a bit more and he might tune in.
You're telling me he doesn't listen? Where's the love?
He listens until about 10 minutes in when I have a dig at him and then he turns off. Which is normally quite subtle, but it's normally in there.
It's probably because he doesn't understand my my dulcet northern tones.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. And we go off tangents talking about Inspector Gadget.
This is true. This is why our listeners love it.
I know.
So varied and it's like an onion.
Oh dear. So the mistakes from week 12. Move the Sticks League. Old Man Strength. I've actually got it grouped together as three mistakes in one. So bear with me. Obviously a bit not really foreseen, but playing Tony Romo this week, minus 1.7 points, so bad start, but choosing to opt to play him when he had Tyrod Taylor on his bench, who went for 26 points. We have waving CJ Anderson, he did early on in the week, who then proceeded to have his best week of the season, 27 points, and for leaving AJ Green on the bench. Playing LaFellon Cooks at receiver, Green having two touchdowns and 18 points. So three mistakes almost in one there for Wyatt and his tinkered a bit too much.
He's gone from, I mean, we will touch on this, but he's gone from 5-0 to 5-7.
Seven game losing streak. It's desperation times. So these other moves may not come close, but in the same league, Danby and the Lagers benched Sammy Watkins ahead of his best performance of the season. Moving on to the Hall of Lame, we have Joe and the G-Men benching Travis Benjamin. Obviously, not necessarily a bad move, but you're benching him for Dwayne Harris, the Hall players, who scored not very much. So, a bit of a mistake there for Joe. We have Matt and Lombardi Slap, the rudderless ship, playing Edelman, despite being injured. So that was a mistake by the Slap. And then finally, in a similar vein, I'm bringing Hasselback, the newly named team, played a concussed Ryan Matthews, who hasn't made it back after a couple of weeks being concussed. So a couple there in the pipe and slippers where playing people who didn't make it to the game.
Yeah, I mean, Matt's now, you know, that ship seems to have sailed. I would have to say Wyatt with Green may be the worst one for me because, you know, I think there's certain players, even when they're struggling, that you are top talented players and you just don't drop them because you never know. Any given week, they can go off. And you know, then they're never going to have. It's rare that, you know, they're going to be, you know, week in, week out. But, you know, 80% of the season, you know, they're going to, you know, bring you decent results.
You look how, even though they had those back-to-back losses, the Bengals, Green in those weeks went 4.7, 7.9. He's still receiving targets. It's not been the best season for him since a 200-yard, two-touchdown game in week 3 against the Ravens, but this is then his next best of the season this weekend. And you almost thought the Bengals back at home were gonna bounce back. So.
Oh, yeah, they were going to fix that. And at the end of the day, the losses weren't horrendous. But, you know, the loss of the Cardinals, they actually kind of probably came out of that and thought, yeah, we're there or thereabouts.
So, congratulations, Wyatt, on the I've Made a Huge Mistake Award. Two awards for the Move the Sticks League then.
Indeed.
Speaking of the Move the Sticks
League. Oh, nice.
We have, this is near enough our most standard of the leagues. It's 12 team, 3 division. We have 14 regular season games, 2 weeks of playoffs with 4 teams. So we have these final two games to go in the regular season.
Winners of each league, so each division, and then we have a wild card, essentially.
Which, as it stands, is Rudders Niners after a three-game winning streak, moving to 7-5 after that win over D-Train, who topped Division 1 at 9-3. So Rudders Niners hold that wild card slot. And looking safe to come second in that division, at least. But the wild card position is quite tight in this one.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. Especially, you know, the league that I was in, I was still in it until last week and got well and truly handed my ass handed to me by Carl and Scratch and Sniff.
Yeah.
You know, at one point, Wyatt looked like he was running away from it. But, you know, you've even got Tony at 6-6, the playmakers, who could argue that they're still in with a shot. And obviously Anthony with the Eskimo Bros that could legitimately say, yeah, I'm in there, you know, if results fall. So it's really a huge week for your bro and for Danby, really. I mean, if they can put a win on the board each, they've got to feel pretty good about going into the final week.
If you look at both those teams, they, in a way, have easier opponents this week. Rudders Niners playing the Fnatics, so 4-8, and Danby's taking on Wyatt's team. You've got that playoff push there. Tony's got to play the top place team in Division 3 this week. So he's got a very tough challenge ahead of him at 6-6 to try and beat.
It's obviously tougher at the back end because, there's probably more injuries, but that evens itself out because there is now you'd have to cover byes.
And
you're literally playing, you know, the studs.
Speaking of how we talked about earlier that my big bro likes to change his lineup week on week. He's once again been the most active in the waivers in the middle of the week. Three new players for the Niners. So Scott Chandler, Sean Drawn, and Cecil Shorts may be making an appearance for the Niners this week. As he looks to try and push
spot. I'd be dubious over the 49ers running back on the basis that the Niners have been quick to get away from the run because they haven't really been playing an awful lot of sort of tight games. But I guess at Chicago, you could argue potentially that might be a close one.
Yeah, well, you now got to look into the fact, which at this time of year is a bit difficult for us to keep a track of, but weather forecasts and climate up there in the north starts to play an effect and could be snowy and muddy in Chicago, so suit some running backs and some types of schemes to play that type of offense when it's
Has your bro got Langford as well?
He does.
Yeah, so he's got a monopoly on the running backs in that game.
Just looking ahead to round off who we think might get in, I've just skipped forward to week 14, so the last games. We have the Niners play the Lagers, so could be the crucial win-and-in game in week 14.
That's interesting the way that that's fallen. That could be win-and-in. Let's hope for the interesting side of it that both of them.
I mean,
you
still got that thought that in Division 2, Carl isn't guaranteed to get it in. If he loses his last two, he won't even pick up the playoff spot.
And he is playing. Who's he got this week, Carl? He's got Cowboy Crusaders, who've been all right, 5-7. So
So interesting there. Moving on.
The Hull.
Just to clarify, there we didn't mention that I've made huge mistakes apart from briefly there that you're sitting at 4-8, so
But again, sometimes you've got to go through this hardship to appreciate the true wins in life.
Yes. So speaking of wins, the Mannings are 5 wins in the Hall of Lame.
They are
after beating top place Bootzilla in that Division 3.
We're clinging on.
So this is the other unusual wrinkle to this league. When I set this league up, I thought, there's 17 weeks of the season, let's make the most of it. So we have our championship game in week 17. Thus, we have still three regular season games to go here.
It's controversial, but I like it. I like to mix.
So
I like the fact that we've mixed it up.
Still get to 8-7 mathematically.
This is true. This is very true.
And top that division. Ultimately, you can. Again, this is a four team from three division playoffs. So we have one wild card who currently stands as Aaron and the Magicians Alliance at 8-4.
He's been very active this year, and it's been pleasing to see.
Very active. Took down myself in a tight win in week 10. Came back again and won in week 11. Missed out against a Real Americans American team this last weekend, which has tied them up at the top of Division 1 at 8-4 each. So looking like really one of those two are holding that slot to get in as a wild card. But as we say, three games to go. The only one who's really looking assured of making the playoffs for certain is Anthony.
Yeah, first team across the two leagues to reach double figures, I believe.
Yes, 10-2 now.
Six on the bounce. That's impressive.
Some good going there. You look at the numbers, he's not had much opposition against him, it seems. Only 840 points he's come up against this year, when all the others are way over 1,000, even 1,200 is kind of the average.
Yeah, and as we've said, sometimes, you know, you can just almost the way the cookie crumbles, and that's very kind of cliched, and but that's sometimes just the way it is. And just looking at the matchups this week, who have we got? Magicians are facing the Intimidators, so that's huge this week, because you know, I think if the Intimidators do win that, and I believe that's Tony.
Yeah.
He's going to feel like he's right back in that.
Yeah, he's almost sitting at 500 across a number of our leagues. He's been hit by a few injuries, as we all have, but he's battling away 6-6, and mathematically can still top that division possibly at 9-6. But the other big game this week is the future Hall of Lamers take on Anthony's Moustache.
Yes, you're going to need that one to...
After last week's battle against Gronk if you're horny, which I thought was almost a crucial game, but we still got three games to go, so 7-5, one game out of the playoff wild card. But as we say, you're mathematically still alive. A lot of teams still alive, really. You can only really say Henrik and the Stiff Arms, probably Joe and the G-Men, Zach Stacey's Mom and Forest Green are the teams that are out of it. The other four spots could be taken from eight teams.
Very much so. No, it's things are still hot enough, and it's huge for you for this week, because you feel if you lose that, you're going to probably struggle to break that wild card, because all of a sudden you're going to have the Real Americans, the Magicians Alliance, and the Intimidators that have all got either a better or matching record.
Yes, and with three games to go, it's a lot all to play for. We have the Mannings taking on the Magicians in week 15, in the final game of the season. Two teams who made the playoffs last year. And the Mannings, who in fact have been there 2 years in a row. So,
yes,
be good to keep that record alive.
It would be. Clinging on.
The Pipe and Slippers, certainly not clinging on for the Honey Badgers.
Nope. But a big week, nonetheless.
Yes, so landscape of this league, again, different. 12 teams, three divisions, that's the same. But we have a 3-week playoff for six teams. Thus, this is the final week of the regular season.
It is.
So, where it stands is still...
No, hang on, just remind me that it's the... Is it the league winners...
The league winners plus the two, no,
the yeah. three, then the three best wild cards out of any
yes,
records out of any league.
There is no it's not just a second place team, because right. at the moment we have three teams from your Division One in. So Gronk, if you're horny, holds the fifth seed at the moment with a 7-5 record, as well as Matt and Lombardi Slap. So those three teams with yourself are in.
But X Factors and Tony are in because he's the league winner from Division Three.
X Factors is winning the what this year is now the AFC South, last year's NFC South, the worst division with 6-6 record, winning that one. So he's in for sure. There's no other team coming in from there.
He can't get that.
We have Anthony and myself tied at 9-3 in Division 2. So we are both in for sure.
Yeah.
The breakdown now comes seeding-wise. There'll be some tiebreakers between final results, but the battle is for Gronk if you're horny at 7-5 versus It's Like Giving Candy to a Baby at 6-6. For that all-important sixth spot.
Yeah, you see, I think unless Lombardi, see, again, I've been trying to go back and check the week's results, because I've beaten Lombardi Slap last week, and I think I've beaten them early on in the...
Should have really done all our homework here, to be honest, but if the tiebreakers go on the head-to-head first, I just search back to week 7. And
you see, I've beaten Gronk if you're horny already once, and I've beaten Lombardi Slap twice. So I think I'm in if Lombardi Slap lose.
Yeah. It looks like if it stays as is, Gronk if you're horny, if say they tie up with It's Like Giving Candy to a Baby, will hold the tiebreaker.
You need a degree in, trigonometry or something ridiculous to get this stuff right.
So, just trying to look at the fixture-wise, you're playing Gronk.
Exactly, but as I say, I've already beaten them once this year, so I think I'm in a relatively good place.
Lombardi has almost...
It's about me.
The easier game, playing Silent Assassin. I'm just trying to think whether if It's Like Giving Candy to a Baby win, they actually would lose a head-to-head if Gronk are tied with them at 7-6.
So I think Gronk push Lombardi Slap. There's numerous permutations that can still happen.
Yes. So that's where we stand. But the key, if you think this way, is getting those first two seeds as well, which is the important business for yourself and myself. So you get a quarterfinal bye.
Yeah.
It'd be quite unusual in fantasy having a week off, but guarantees you a semi-final berth. Currently, yourself and myself hold those. So well played, sir.
Thank you. I was doffing my glasses too.
Excellent stuff. But as I'm playing the compromised underplants for this final game, so whoever wins that one will get a first round bye.
Yeah, it's huge.
For sure, and not sure the other team whether they won't carry on. It looks like the way it's working out that you're the top of Division One will take this second seed. So after all that, I think we've just about rounded up those playoff permutations.
We have, obviously. Everybody's more confused and none the wiser, but
most importantly though, crunch time at 2-10 looking for a third win of the season over one Cheddars at 4-8 in the battle there in Division 3, which we thought we'd just mention those chaps.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Paul has been battling. He's been trying to take JJ off me for a while, and I am not giving up easily on that one, unless maybe a Carlos Hyde is talked about in the mix.
Oh, subtle.
Sorry, it was, wasn't it?
Well, there has been some trade action as well in this league, which a little bit of confusion, partly jubbed by me.
Don't sell yourself short.
I have to own up to what happened with a trade between Sharkies 1 and X Factors. Massive trade, four players going each way. Epic. Tony doing his best to sneakily take a franchise QB for his...
Yeah, I saw that. That was naughty.
Andrew Luck. He's giving away Jameis Winston now. Even longer term franchise QB.
Yeah.
And Randall Cobb, amongst others. Now, because of a change I had to make to a previous trade, I changed the settings to veto the trades by the league manager. Thus, I looked at this trade, and I just clipped away off screen from it. But by me looking at it and not rejecting
it,
it authorizes it to go through instantly, while, rather than it going through in the two-day period. So it's all kicked off because Tony was sneakily looking to play Randall Cobb tonight. So instead he's going to have to play Devontae Adams in Thursday night game, which was his big issue with it, that it's gone through before he wanted it to. But some morals would say that's not entirely right, as I know you would have sat Cobb ahead of that game if you're trading him away.
Yeah, I would. I don't know why. Just it's one of those ridiculous moralistic things that makes no sense whatsoever.
So at the end of the day, the trade's going through. It's come through earlier than it should have done. However, it ultimately doesn't matter. X Factors are in. It's only a bit of pride, maybe, for Sharky's one to potentially beat him with.
And also, his record is not going to be improved to the point of where it's going to affect the seedings.
No, this is true. By default, he is the third seed.
Third seed, yep.
Which means he plays the sixth seed, it looks, overall by default. So, and he will move into a semi-final against currently yourself. So, that was the trade news there. Apologies, chaps, for the confusion, but it's all through anyway. So now I'm going to have to...
Look at you taking ownership of things. You've grown.
Sadly, though, my chasing of Randall Cobb from Tony has now been pushed back. I was trying to get him to sell Tony Romo. Well, sell Cobb for Romo, amongst other things, but...
You know, even Tony won't even take old glass back now, will he?
He did. Well, no, not now. Seeing as I've stated anyway on Twitter that Tony will never play another snap again in the NFL.
Really? That's bold. That's bold.
Hot take, yeah. So, anything else you want to cover this week?
No, I think it's been a good one. It's been fun. It's been we've had a little bit of 80s kids television. You've shown growth as a human being and owned a mistake, and it's been a good one.
Oh, just where we're talking about me being a good human being and growth, I'm going to bring it back down to all fair and love and war and trash talking, and just wanted to mention the fact that I've pulled back three games on you on the pick'ems
competitively. Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
You need to mention.
I was a bit shocked actually because I thought I had a relatively solid week.
You did, but
you had an epic week.
13-3, which somehow gets you 170 points.
Yes, I'm not quite sure how the points thing, but yeah. It's one of those, isn't it? So
just the three incorrect last week. So pulled back three, just 1 point, 10 points behind you. As we move into the last few weeks of this pick'em. So you're holding on.
Barely, but
that's all that matters.
Exactly. It's not about how we get over the finish line. It's about getting over.
So
I can't even get sayings right.
I know. Well, speaking of finishing lines, we shall reach the finish line here. Just to mention quickly, this is the @pipe_slippers podcast.
You're getting really, really good at this, but I enjoy it every week. Every week it seems more seamless and slick.
Until you interject.
I'm sorry.
I also like the fact I'm often rubbing my hands together as I say this bit.
Like some maniacal sort of evil...
Whilst you're there stroking your cat. Lord.
Well, this is true. You know, he's looking at me now as if to say, are you seriously 32 years old and doing a podcast?
Yes, we are. I, however, am already 1 year older, so...
You are.
Look forward to that in January, Roger.
Bring it on.
So, from myself, at Stephen Rudkin on Twitter, and from at Roger M. Kirby, this is us saying goodbye until next time.
Sipping a tea.